Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts, the holes. In particular, it's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
And my name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of questions from a couple of listeners. Ooh, baby. Today's a special day, ain't it?
The day that we're recording it? Because today, the day we're recording it, we decided to do this first thing in the morning. Get it out of the way. Is that what you're talking about?
The day that this is dropping.
Oh, the day that this episode is dropping, December 7th.
Yes.
What's so special?
It's a day that will live in infancy.
Oh, because it's your birthday.
Yes.
It's your birthday.
Yes, honey. It's
your birthday. What's the version of it that's actually every version of Happy Birthday now is
free to use?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Who are the two sisters who wrote the original Happy Birthday song and then cashed in?
I don't know.
Giving away the copyright for 100 years. Well, that copyright's over. Now it's public domain. You can sing Happy Birthday. You can sing Happy Birthday to...
Don't use that voice. Don't sing it in that voice.
This is the first thing in the morning we're recording this. So obviously my beautiful singing voice is not, you know, full and in bloom yet.
Okay, we're going to blame the morning time.
Yes. Not the fact that I grew up listening to Nirvana and indie rock. Yes, that is what we will blame.
Another year older, another year wiser. Well, not necessarily wiser. Look, another year older. Okay, I made it another year without getting a cocoa, and that's a true blessing and gift.
Yes, that is a true gift. I'm gonna throw this at you though. Name one thing, just one thing you have learned in the last year.
One thing that I've learned in the last year.
Because I bet you are a little wiser. Now, my parents would say I'm a little Weisenheimer. But I would say you're a little wiser.
I really can't think of anything I learned. That's a bummer. You be setting me up, and I'm like, I don't have an answer. Like, I'm not good, like, off the cuff. So I have no idea what I learned. I'm sure I learned something, but I wouldn't count it. Obviously, it wasn't big enough for me to just be able to call on in a moment.
I'll say something that that I bet. Well, maybe you didn't learn this, but maybe I think you've come into your power a little more this year.
Interesting.
You really killed it with your Netflix special taping.
Yes.
And to be TBD when it will be out, but
it'll be out before the year's over.
But I would say watching you just absolutely slay. I'd say, you know, in this calendar year, 58, 70, whatever.
Yeah.
For us Jews, this calendar year, I would say that that you come into your power a little more. That's something to be proud of.
Thank you very much. Then I'll take it. I am more in my power. as I'm 1 year closer to death. So that's gorgeous. How you feeling, Andy? How does it feel to be with an older woman? Meaning a woman who has gotten older.
Who has gotten older, right? Still younger than me.
That's true. That's true. Still useful, even though I would say you look younger than me. I think we both look... I think we both look young.
Deceptively.
Deceptively young, which I love because I'm all about deception.
But truly, if I did not use moisturizer, I would look like the Crypt Keeper.
Oh my God. You would never look like a Crypt Keeper. Your cheeks are too full. You know, Crypt Keeper, he's all gaunt.
Boys and ghouls, if I don't use my moisture dye, sir.
Okay. We're gonna blame.
What does the... sorry, that's more like what the Crypt Keeper sounds like.
That's not nice in people's ears. Remember, it's my birthday.
It's true. You know what? We made, you know, a vow 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. I promised on her birthday I would not try to do the Crypt Keeper's voice. And I'm sorry I failed you this year, Naomi.
It's okay. It's okay. You were really good for 7 years in a row.
Naomi.
Yes.
On this special day of days.
Yes.
We have a special episode because we have a good friend on this one.
We've got a dear friend, a truly wonderful soul who has taken us in Los Angeles, the hysterical, the brilliant Jenna Friedman. Jenna is a writer, a comedian. Perhaps you know her show Soft Focus on Adult Swim. Mm. Perhaps you saw the Borat sequel that she co-wrote.
And was Oscar nominated for.
Oscar nom, baby. But right now, you can watch Jenna's new show, Indefensible, on Sundance TV. And it is in the true crime space, but it is smart, it is incisive, it is educational. She's basically taking to task and calling out somebody's crazy, not just what these people have done, but how they've managed to get away with it. I'm telling you, you will be infuriated, but you will also laugh. And if that's not living, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, if that isn't life in 2021, then I don't know what else would be a better avatar for existence. Right. Now, Naomi, where can people see this?
They can see it on Sundance TV.
Hell yes.
The AMC Plus app.
Great.
All right. And just like get in there, find it, make it happen, watch it. Okay. No excuses. It's so great. And Jenna, I mean, she's out here directing this thing, getting that edit together. This is her baby. Okay. This is her baby. You've got to at least say, I saw your baby and your baby is cute.
Do you think we cracked Jenna? I don't think we cracked her.
No, God, no. It's so funny. For someone who is a dear friend, no, we didn't crack her. I think it's because she is...
a cracker that can't be cracked.
Holy shit. Okay, now that was your birthday gift to me. You saying a cracker that can't be cracked. That shit, I'm dead. I'm dead. That is wild and gorgeous and beautiful. And that is a real tender gift. Ooh, hold on. Let's just sit in it for one more second. Cracker that can't be cracked. Oh my God. I can't wait. Now, before we get into Jenna, though, I think we need to tell people about what we be doing off the free feed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, yes. We have a Patreon.
Yes,
it helps support, I would say, 90% of the show.
Absolutely.
And twice a month, we're coming at you.
Yep.
With episodes that are just me and Naomi.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dishing.
We're dishing.
We just say we're dishing, Naomi.
We're spilling tea. We're recommending movie shows and music. We're taking you behind the sick curtain of showbiz, behind the sick curtain of our relationship.
Well, I wouldn't call that a sick curtain. I would say the sick curtain of showbiz, or perhaps the beloved curtain of our love.
Healthy curtain? There's a sick
curtain. Yeah, pretty much. I would say pretty healthy curtain.
A sick curtain, healthy curtain, a Jane curtain. Those are the options in this relationship. I know, that was more you.
Thank you.
Me making a Jane curtain reference. I said, who's this for? Andrew Beckerman, after he gave me a cracker who couldn't be cracked. I had to give him back something nowhere near as nice. But the point is the Patreon, honey. 2 episodes a month for just $5. We are having fun. We're communicating. You're getting a deep dive with us on all sorts of things that we don't cover here. Because, you know, usually we're answering questions with a guest.
Yeah, and it really does help support the show because really we do all the work ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, by we, you know, mostly Andrew, I would say, you know, the editing, the booking, the mixing, the engineering, you know. And so, honestly, every every bit helps. Every Jubu t-shirt you buy helps.
Yeah. And before we get into it, I just want a quick plug for my other podcast, Beginnings.
Can you believe him? Two podcasts.
I've been fucking killing it with this show. Doing some really great interviews. So basically on the show, I do deep dives into the childhoods and early lives of artists I admire. And I mean, just in the last year, I've talked to people like Ron Moore, the creator of the new Battlestar Galactica, Michaela Watkins, who is a guest on this show.
He's been on every TV show in the world.
Ian MacKay of Fugazi. And coming up, this is why I want to like just put a little plug out here, because the 12th anniversary is coming up next 12 month. 12
years. Andy's been with this podcast longer than he's been with me. Okay? This is his longest relationship.
I just did some amazing interviews. John Linnell of They Might Be Giants is coming up. And Rebecca Gibney. Yeah. A wonderful New Zealand actor who you co-creator of also this Netflix show Wanted, which is just brilliant, and those were really great. So I just wanted to, I feel a little shamed, but
don't
I'm also
feel
like
shamed at
I feel
all.
Proud. I've like I think I do really good interviews on that.
You
show,
do so. Great interviews. The people who have come on have been loving it. The listeners are loving it. You put a lot of work in, honey. You dive deep. You're like an indie rock Dr. Phil. He's bad. But I couldn't think of like another, person that other people would know. You like an indie rock Ayanna Van Zandt.
You're like an indie rock Dr. Oz. I'm like, no, not that one either.
You're an indie rock Rachel Ray.
You're an indie rock Dr. Mangala. Oh no, it's getting worse. Oh boy. Oh.
You know what, honey? We are off the rails and we need to get to Jenna, okay?
Hey, before we do, happy birthday, Naomi.
Thanks, Andy. Because it's my birthday, do I get to say it? Roll it.
I like doing these with our good friends because there's already a certain level of intimacy here.
Yes, a comfort.
Too much. Too much. I'm afraid I'm going to say something just thinking we're talking.
Well, here's the thing. I'll say this. If there's things you don't want to talk about, just say I don't want to talk about that. Because this is the thing. We already know a lot about your relationship history. So, and I'm like, well, what don't you want to talk about? Or what is off limits?
Well, it's just so funny because I feel like, we only knew you like a little in New York, but really it's like in LA we've truly come together, and in particular in the pandemic, because you came to own property with an outdoor space, and that really just changed the game because it turns out all four of us were equally afraid of the Coco.
Yes, I've been very afraid of it. I think pandemic LA is my favorite version of LA.
Yes.
I see some beautiful aspects of LA that I think I ignored in the past. It's taken me a long time to get out here. And I love New Yorkers. Right. So the fact that I think we kind of came out around the same time. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I just think that in general, like our hearts, all of us, including Josh, we all have the same kind of like Jewish anxious energy within us. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the bond that ties.
The tie that bonds.
Andy, you made me feel so sane during the pandemic with your neuroses.
Uh-huh. Andy, you're so mentally ill that you made me feel normal by comparison.
I know. I felt. Gift. Yeah. Cool.
You mentioned Josh, Andy. Josh, for the listener, is Jenna's now husband. I think
partner.
You can say.
You've already told so much. I haven't told anyone because we are basically like really excited about just kind of keeping our lives private. I think we're both somewhat public, but not by LA standards, but it is nice to kind of keep things private. But yeah, I'm happy. I'm fine to know. We went to Smorgasbord this weekend. Our friend, this guy, Zach, he's really cool. He like books the vendors.
Okay. This is not about Zach today. Okay.
Yeah. Fuck Zach.
Do you like how I'm just like changing the topic? I'm like, so then, okay, there's, let me walk you through the vendors at Smorgasbord, because that will take up the whole hour.
we can swerve. What are you comfortable talking about? Or like, what are you? Because like, I actually, one of the things that we Naomi and I constantly, I don't know if we ever talked to you about this, but like we're constantly trying to figure out what are the boundaries between the public personas. Because like the public persona is not like a skin we put on. It's not like we're like, you know, we get into public and we're these like wacky characters, right? We are.
It's more like a valve or a filter, right? And like whether how much are you opening up that valve, you know, for the purposes of entertainment, connection, and then where does entertainment veer into possible betrayal of your partner?
Oh yeah, no. Josh is what I mean. One of the cool, I mean, there's so many cool things about him, but one I think is just how, as a performer, he totally understands. And he's never once said like, "Don't say that on stage." It's less about him. I think it's more just like, right. I guess I do have this hang up, which I do talk about it a little bit. Like I think like. And maybe it's our generation of like female comics because it's like different now. But I do remember coming up like all of the opportunities available to female comics if we just talked about sex and like the expectation of us to like kiss and tell or talk about sex on stage. And I joke about how like I did at first and then it got to a point where I just was like, I don't want to do this, even if it's profitable. And that's why nobody knows me. No.
So-and-so is making millions from talking about sex. Isn't that what your mom said recently?
Oh my God, so yes.
I forget the name of the person, but
we
I love
can
it.
Name like, the person.
That's fine, but it's like, she's talking about sex. And I was like, yeah. God, we wish. You know, again, Jenna.
Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth. And I really wanted to respond to your mom, be like, I could never, I'm sex negative. But then I didn't want to have to explain to your mother what sex negative was.
She gets it. She's just negative negative. She's like, you're speaking my language.
But yes.
Yeah. And then also I do think like for performers now, there's such an expectation to be for people to see you. And I think that really like came into the forefront with like podcasting. It's like people buy tickets for personalities, people they are friends with. It's not even about the art as much as it is about the person. So then the backlash of like, how do you separate the art from the artist has really come because now it's like, we're buying into people's identities. That's how we're consuming music and art and film. Not film as much, but I would say I think comedy and maybe music a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go see Wes Anderson's films for his nothingness, the nothingness of the person behind the shell of a human behind the films.
The expressionless, cold human behind the films.
It's really like... The gaffer, that's, you know, it's like, I'm like a gaffer's, like, it's just like, that's who
you're
I am.
You're a gaffer's gaffer?
Is that what you're saying? It's just funny because it's like, you know, I realize I don't know the screenwriters to some of my favorite movies and I feel really bad about that when that happens. But I was just thinking like, wouldn't it be funny if you just like went to see the movie by the gaffer, like whoever gaffed, like, it's like, you got it right away. I didn't.
I mean, Jenna, did you, like, were you kind of like a private person before you became a comedian?
I don't know if it's private. I think it's more just a reaction to, like, how I think we're enculturated in comedy, like, how harshly we're judged. Or, like, I remember when I was first doing comedy, just, like, the rumors about, like, other women who were successful, I would just hear and it would, like, diminish their success. So I just got like paranoid. I remember being at the Comedy Cellar and I was like talking to a guy comic and he left and I was like, we were just friends, but I'm like, can you not walk out with me? Cause I don't want people to think that we're having sex or something. And we weren't having sex. And he like laughed about it. But I'm like, when you're a young comic and people don't know who you are, they just think you're, you know, not so. I don't know. I think just like being in this world, it kind of made me like paranoid for no reason. If I were like, let everyone think we're having sex, that's then I'll get booked. Like, I don't know. It's just like, I think there's like a level of like just like doing comedy for 15 years, like in our just working in this like weirdly unregulated industry. And it's not like it's not like a pity party or anything, but I think that there's like a level of paranoia that we've all gotten just from being, you know, in this world.
Yeah. Well, totally. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the, like, I think about this a lot that besides like the actual horrific traumatic stuff that comes from, you know, misogyny and racism, there's also throws this kind of uncertainty into everything that I think makes the day to day as fucked up as like those bigger problematic things where like you don't know if you've gotten something or you didn't get something
right.
because you weren't good enough or whether it's just because you're a woman or Naomi because she's black or whatever.
Or because it's like, oh, well, she's a woman, but I don't have a chance of having sex with her. So it's not worthwhile to have her around. Which I think is like something I always think about, you know, like even if somebody's not trying, even if someone's not getting with you, it oftentimes feels like when you're dealing with like a single straight man, it's almost like they kind of want the option or the illusion of the option for you to be an appealing woman to even like interact with. Because I've definitely felt like, oh, I see, like, I can tell, like, if a man either doesn't think I'm attractive or just knows, you know, I'm not unavailable, the extent to which he'll just, like, see through me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, you don't, I'm not here right now. Okay, I'm going to go sit down.
That's definitely real. Or if, like, if you reject them, then they just ice you out from, like, professional opportunities, even though you didn't, like... Yeah, it's a whole minefield.
Delicate, right? A true minefield. I mean, but you've also, it's interesting because, you know, for all that minefield and paranoia, it really does seem like to me, whether you've wanted to or not, you have, you know, sort of established yourself as a voice comedically who will call that stuff out.
Yeah.
And I say that whether you want to or not is because I do think there is a point sometimes, right, where obviously you speak your mind and you say what you think and you call out the bullshit and like, you know, even your new show, Indefensible, AMC Plus. Okay? You are like, you know what I mean? Like, you are talking about stuff and really calling out. And some of the stuff you say to these, like, white dudes on camera, on the record, are just amazing. But I also know that there are times when sometimes, you know, someone maybe comes to you and is like, can I get you to speak on the record about X, Y, or Z? You know, and you being like, I don't want to. You know what I mean? Or it's like, I don't know if I want to wade in that water.
Well, what are some, so I know that like if I've signed an NDA, that's typically when I'm like, nah, 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 nah. But what, like in your mind, what are examples of things we can maybe edit this out that like I've been
about to... sexual harassment, comedian assaulters, like where, for instance, you know, it wasn't your experience with that person, but know that you are a female comedian who speaks about this stuff. So do you want to comment on this person or this situation?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, I did, there was like that time where I was like promoting Self-Focus and the New Yorker reached out to ask about Louis. And it was just like, well, this is like the only time I'm going to talk about it. And it's because it's the New Yorker. And I felt dirty about it. I really did. But I also was like, you know, there's interesting stuff to say. They're not going to take me out of context. And I think that Isaac Choatner or whatever, who did the interview, did a pretty good job at kind of documenting, you know, what I was saying. But I also think there's this, like, if I don't want to talk about something, it's less about me and more just about that, like, why do female comics have to, like, be the ones to excuse this behavior or put our necks on the line to, you know, talk about this stuff? Why is everyone so obsessed with these guys who are still working, you know? So I think, like, I can't think of like a time I've been like afraid to say something, but it's more, I think, just like, you know, what's the point? Like, why? And like, is it important? Is there a reason to insert my voice into this?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Right.
Like, less fear, but more you're like, is it on me to say it? Like, or you know what I mean? Like,
or like, why do I have to, like, you have nothing to do with these shitheads. Right.
Yeah.
So why am I the one? Yeah, guys, I'm coming out and calling Louis C.K. a shithead.
Okay,
all right?
Andy, you're going to get canceled and nominated for a Grammy.
I'm going to get canceled.
Careful.
I'm going to get canceled by the incels. But like, that, I think that's the thing, is that like, if you are outspoken and a woman, somehow you are now a lightning rod for having to, for being the person who will talk about these kinds of things in public. And whether that, I think that's what you were getting at, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're like, it's like whether you want to or not, you know, because you will, and we do keep this a relatively politically free zone on the show, so people have some kind
everything's
of fucking,
political.
Well, you know what I mean. Specifically discussing certain things, just to give people some respite. But like, you know, it then, like, whether you want to or not, it somehow becomes your persona. And I'm kind of curious if there is a, if because you are a kind of private person, if like that is somehow a refuge for you, like, oh, I can talk about this topic. I don't have to like go into my own personal life because I can talk about X,
this
Y, or
larger issue.
Yes, this larger issue. Yeah. Is there something like that's like, I don't know about comforting, but like, oh, okay, good. I am in public. I can show that I'm funny or that I'm intelligent by talking about this thing, and I don't have to reveal a lot of deeper things if I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it's easier to pull from personal stuff, but maybe it's harder for some. But I like the idea of being able to, you know, mine comedy from things outside of myself. That said, you know, this next hour I'm working on does have some personal stuff, you know, just about, I'm like working on it now. Not too personal, but I think that for anyone who's not like a white dude, the personal is a political. So when you kind of have those two things like motherhood and like, even just like be like getting older, like those are kinds of things that merge the two, especially for women when you look at like reproductive rights policies and blah 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 blah. This is so funny, this podcast. I'm sorry. I'm like show. I'm talking a little bit about like that, which it's like so funny because like I'm doing it on stage, but even right now, like I don't want to talk about
you can't even give us an example of something
just like the idea of like, you know, like even trying to have a kid or something or wanting to have a kid, like that whole thing. I think for women we bump up against it in our late 30s, and I'm just like, I'm thinking about like, I'm so terrified of motherhood and being a mom, and it's like, because we all should be. I don't know why, like I admire people who aren't. Like our country and the planet are like inhospitable for women to be like moms, and I feel like anyone who's kind of bumping up against the clock or whatever is like it's just something that's very heavily on my mind. And I know, Naomi, we've talked about that.
Don't have them. Go get one. Okay? Get a living baby. We don't need fresh white people. Like, just, you know, and it's like, I shouldn't be saying that. You know what I mean? To people. I really try to keep that to myself. I can't help it. We definitely had guests on a few episodes ago where I was literally, they were like, we're going to have another baby. And I was like, why? And it was like my first thing. And it was like, you gotta be respectful to people's life choices.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of us and it's just going to get worse. So. Keep speaking your truth, Naomi.
I want to refocus because we
we can cut all this and start from the top. Let's talk about sex, baby.
As is the want when all of us get together, is we are going to dig ourselves a hole that we are then trying to get out of emotionally. But I'm curious because I do think this is interesting, Jenna, because you are yourself on stage, right? You're not putting on something. So I'm kind of curious about this, like, about where you draw the line, and then like when you were younger, like when you were a teenager, were you kind of an open person, or were you relatively the same kind of person you are now in terms of like keeping things back?
Oh, I don't think I hold things back. I just don't talk about my personal life on stage. Like, but that's not
right, in
holding
public,
things
I mean.
Back.
I guess I mean in public, right? Like the kind of like, where do you draw the line between the public and the personal persona?
I mean, talk to anyone who's like known me for a while. I really am the same person, like even comedically as when I was little. I think when I got into comedy, my comedy has probably gotten a little bit more humanity, because when I was like beginning, I definitely was like playing a character, and like I love Sarah Silverman. She's one of my favorite comics, and I definitely looked up to her when I was starting, and like I was like doing a little bit more of a shtick, and now I'm just like myself on stage. But yeah, I mean, I don't think I'm that private, but I think I'm lucky because I'm relatively obscure, and I do feel like there's like anonymity is bliss. And I feel so bad for, you know, younger people who are really in the public eye, because it just seems so scary. Like Eliza Skinner was on the show last night, and I'm going to try to quote her, and it's not going to be as funny, but we were talking about this one actress that she has like tried to get in projects, and everyone's like, that woman's crazy. And Eliza I told her to put this in her comedy because it was so funny. But she's like, how is like a child star from the 90s like not fucking bonkers? Do you know what I mean? Because it's like so much was asked of them and like their personal lives are on display. And like we're just in this moment also where you just, I think it's just safer if you just have a wall up between like your private life and your public stuff. Just because, I mean, for every reason, but we're just like in this like really creepy moment where you just don't, I just like don't want my stuff out there. My private stuff out there.
Well, all right. You said you don't want private stuff out there, but I will be pivoting to something. What's with you and musicians? You seem to date a lot of musicians.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a gotcha interview. Yeah, I've always dated musicians. I don't know if you want to talk
about that, but I'm just very...
I'm fine.
Really?
No, I've always dated musicians.
They're like so notoriously, like, notorious cads, you know? Like, men about town.
Notorious
men who are always on the road, you know?
So here's the thing. I do think, and I've been with the same musician for over 5 years, and we're now married, so... But I dated a lot of musicians. I felt like they got what I did, but they weren't competitive. And they were weirdly, the ones that I dated, kind of feminist. And, you know, definitely Josh and, like, other guys that I've dated who have been musicians. It just was, like, a good match. And I also, I tried to date non-performers. I didn't have much success with comedians. I felt, I think male comedians are just a lot of friends. But I, you know, it's not my thing. So it just ended up being... You know, I think for women who are out there, like, you know, few things are, there's that old adage or whatever where, I don't know if it was like, who said it first, but it was like the idea of like, you know, men are afraid women will laugh at them and women are afraid men will kill them. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I think for like female comics, there's something really scary about that for a lot of men. They're really afraid mm-hmm. of like a woman on stage with a microphone. But for some reason, musicians that I have dated weren't. So it just was like, oh, this is like a guy who gets what I do, who's not threatened by it. And it just kind of, and it's like, it's hard to find, like, I've always been attracted to creative men, and it's like hard to find, you know, like healthy creative people. So
Yeah.
Look who you're telling, sister.
You know,
welcome
but,
to couples therapy.
Yeah, no, but yeah. Yeah.
No, I get that. I get the, like, kind of, like, it's, I've always been, like, I have, like, a fragile ego, but not in that, like, I only want to see you succeed, Naomi. That's, it's so weird to me to hear the, like, kind of, I mean, I think we all, I don't think my ego is any more fragile than, like, any other human walking around.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I just the idea of, like, well, why be in that relationship then? I don't understand that, where, I don't know.
I also didn't really date. I mean, like, I didn't have relationships before Josh. I had like a couple boyfriends that like maybe lasted 5 or 6 months max, but I didn't have anything beyond that because comedy was like my first love, and it took so much energy to just do anything. And I've worked for really great people, but I always envied people who, like, you know, worked at SNL, because I think that not for everyone there, but there is like some sort of like pipeline where, like, if you're lucky and talented, you will get your stuff, you will get into that family, and then you can get stuff made after. But like for jobs, like when I was at Letterman, they didn't even put me on the show because he had that sex scandal with like the, she kind of looked like me, so they're like, we can't put like a young blonde woman on the show because they'll think whatever. And I mean, so, you know, my time there was short-lived. I was only there for a year, but, you know, when I was at the Daily Show, which was incredible, there was also like that like division of like the behind camera people and the on camera people. And so I've had to work really, really hard to just like get my stuff out there. And I haven't really had time for like a real relationship until Trump became president.
I was going to say, are you going to talk about the fact that you thought the world was ending? And that's what
until I thought the world was
heart.
Ending. And that allowed me to open my heart.
Exactly. Well,
wait, Jenna, you're Jewish. You didn't think the world was ending from moment one of being
born?
Born.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I think, I mean, I grew up in a very lucky time and place, you know, like, I think that, like, the 90s in, like, my little, like, New Jersey suburb, it was pretty cushy, you know, it wasn't, it was, like middle class, it wasn't, like, bougie, really, or anything like that, but it was just, like, a comfortable, you know, like, I think about, like, just us being part of the Title IX generation, which was like when they had like equal funding for men and women's sports, and like how empowered women were. Like on my growing up, like the kicker on the football team was the captain of the girls' soccer team. We won state, our like all of our female athletes were, you know, winning states, and just like, you know, Dave Ritajavo, you know, my high school friend. But it was
You're really promoting a lot of men on this podcast.
Yeah. Zach, Dave.
We don't have time for that. Okay?
Yeah, we don't have time for that. But I think, like, I just, and then also starting in comedy in like 2000, I started doing improv 2004, started doing stand up 2006. From when I started in comedy to now, like the amount of progress we've had for like women, for women of color, for disabled women and people, for, you know, like LGBTQ plus people, like it's been crazy in such a great way. And comedy wasn't like that. And so I bring all this up because I think about like that Trump presidency, and like, I think a lot of white women were like weirdly, or like progressive white women were kind of, thrown off by that because we were like oblivious to like racism, and we were to the extent, you know, like before people got cameras on their phones and you really could just like see how endemic it was. And I think Trump was like this kind of like jumping into the cold water of like, you know, sexism and racism and all of it. And so like that was a moment, and I'm not proud that that was like, and it wasn't my only wake up call, but I just don't think I think growing up in a kind of Title IX generation, women can do anything world, and then seeing how many people voted for Trump after knowing that he like grabbed pussies and like maybe assaulted multiple women, like that was a real wake up call to the level of like misogyny among men and women in our country that I don't think I really got before that.
Right. And then you were like, I need to find someone to get me through the apocalypse.
I was like, it's a man's world and I'm just living in it. So yeah.
I feel like on that beautiful note, we can take a quick break.
Yeah, that's good. We'll be right back after this.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back with Jenna Friedman, honey, here to handle your scandal. We are going to answer some of your relationship cues, okay? As we've learned from Jenna, she is famously private, but will answer my questions when I force them on her. Jenna is a white feminist, but she's learning. That's the other strong takeaway. That's just what I say about all white feminists. I go, but she's learning. They're like, what does it even mean? I don't know. I just like it.
Jenna, how do you feel about this so far? The process of us forcing you out of the shadows.
No, it's fine. It's all fine. I appreciate it. I really stopped doing podcasts because I just kind of, I mean, I don't know. I'm into it. Don't worry about me.
Don't worry about it. But I do expect to get 12 text messages tonight at around 11 p.m. that are like, can you cut this, this, this?
No, I don't think you've said anything. I think everything's fine.
Okay, good. I want you to be happy.
Yeah, I mean, you know what your audience is like, appreciate and don't appreciate. So I trust you guys.
Thank you so much. We trust you too.
Yeah, Jenna, you know, I don't say this out loud often to friends, but you know, we love you and we love Josh. So
he doesn't say it out loud often.
Right back at you. Thank you. I love you guys.
Oh my God, we're in love.
So, all this talk was also to give the listeners some kind of context because we're about to answer some advice questions. And I usually kind of just listen. Well, I only listen to about 20 seconds of every question, but I let the universe guide me. But this, I specifically chose questions for you, Jenna, that I thought you might have some expertise in. So if you would like to leave a question of your own on the voicemail, Naomi, what is that number?
That is 323-524-7839. I can't believe I still haven't memorized.
All right, here we go.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. I just left you a very rambling voicemail, and I'm going to try to leave you another one with my question a little bit tighter so it's easier for you to answer. Okay, so I am a Jew. I grew up in the Bible Belt. And since Trump was elected into office, I have been more open than like ever in my life, just telling people like, yep, I'm Jewish. I was raised Jewish. I don't go to temple. I don't even, you know, I'm pretty much agnostic. But I'll always identify with it just so people are aware that they know a Jewish person, that Jewish people are fine. I think that it's important, an important part of fighting anti-Semitism and just, making people more aware. So my question is this. Sometimes things come up in everyday conversation and they feel a little bit uncomfortable to me, but they're not so outwardly offensive that I know exactly how to respond. So I'm wondering how you would respond to things like this. I'll give you a couple examples. One, I had this old coworker, and she would say things like, oh, my family is only Jewish in the name and the nose, and otherwise, like, really disidentify with it. Kind of rubbed me the wrong way because it, you know, it's like the connotation that being Jewish is a bad thing or something you want to not associate yourself with. So that's one. The other is that I met someone recently, and she didn't know I was Jewish, but she was talking about how if she married her boyfriend, she didn't want to take her last name because it sounded really Jewish. And she said that she would want him to change it or take her last name.
What?
And I know there's a long history of Jews in Hollywood changing their last names to sound not so Jewish. And it is a personal choice, but I just didn't know how to respond in the moment. And I want to be able to say something like, essentially, like, it's what's wrong with being Jewish, or help someone question their own assumptions about that. But I don't know how to do it without, like, getting mad or, I don't know. I just think people say a lot of things like that about Jewish people that they don't even think of as offensive. That they are, and these things have just like stuck with me. So I'm wondering what you think about this, particularly Andy, since I know that you have grown up in a place without a lot of Jewish people as a Jew. Just curious your thoughts, like how you would respond to things like that. And I love the show and look forward to hearing from you. Thanks. Bye.
So, anti-Semitic microaggressions. That is how to deal with them. And Jenna, I think you grew up in a place with even fewer Jews than Reading.
Oh, yeah. It was like me and David Rutajavo.
Again, David.
Naomi went to college with David. It was just, it really was just us. And I did have quite a few really weird experiences growing up that I learned. At least I learned about my own identity through them. I think it depends if the person is Jewish or if they're not Jewish. I think the woman who said, like, in nose and name, I mean, you definitely can challenge them if you want. It depends on how much, like, your reserves of, like, emotional energy and how much you want to spill them out on other people. Anti-Semitism is so ubiquitous and so hard to break down that one conversation with like a Jewish person, I don't know, is going to really change anything. plant a tree in Israel. That, even that is problematic. Naomi's like, we're cutting that. it's really dicey. I don't know. I don't know. You know, it's also really hard to unpack because in the culture war, you have like the Jared Kushner and Ivanka Jews, and then you have like everyone else. And so it's just like really, it's weird. And I wish I had a better answer. I think you can, you know, talk to people anytime you're feeling that something is anti-Semitic and just say, why do you feel that way? If you want, you know, but it's a lot to take on. Yeah, that answer was so lukewarm. My mom will be so upset.
By the way, Jenna, we are rating at the end. We are going to rate all your answers, and you're going to get a report card.
Yeah, and a punishment if it's lackluster.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've survived 57, 60, 70. How old are we as Jews? It's a lot. We're tired, you know, and I think...
Oh, yeah, as Jews, we're all as old as Methuselah, are we not?
I'm trying to put, what year is it? What year in Jewish calendar?
I like how I slip into Jackie Mason.
5871. Where does the time go?
I mean, Andy, would you say anything?
Would I?
With a mic, honestly, especially among someone, also to the nature of these conversations, it sounds like these people are like friends-ish, right? The people who say something to her.
The God's honest truth is that when I'm anti-confrontational. I don't like being confrontational in public because this is really the thing. If I thought it would change someone or change something, I would do it. And there are, like, it's not that I don't take a stand or don't say what I believe in, right? I do those kinds of things. But like when someone says something like that in public to me, or says something like racist, thinking that I'm on their side or something like that, I either don't say anything so that they get it, mm-hmm. or if it's mild enough, I just like go, like give like a fake, like a very obviously fake laugh, because I just like, I don't know. I really have this like struggle with inside where I'm like, is it worth it? Is it worth it to get into it with this fucking like weirdo that I'm talking to? I don't know all the time, and that's why I usually let it go, but maybe I should. I don't know. That's where I'm like, I'm wavering back and forth right now, where I'm like, maybe I should. Maybe it is worth it. Maybe that'll make that, if you say like, if someone said like, if a Jewish person who is secular or whatever said, hey, I'm only Jewish in, I don't know who this character is.
Yep.
I'm only Jewish in name and nose. I would probably just stare at them, and they would, because like, I don't know, like, I'm like, why would
just
you
just looking
that?
At their nose, wondering if it really.
Yeah. Like waiting for them to sneeze a dreidel out. I don't know. Like that's the thing where it's like, I don't know why someone would say that. I don't know. Like, in my head, I'm more like if I'm confronted with this stuff, I'm more like trying to figure out who this fucking shithead is than I am concerned with like
how to change hearts and minds.
Yeah, scolding them or questioning them about the things they said. Like, Like, I think, though, if someone said that to me and I was really, like, in a mood, I might be like, what do you mean by that? I think what do you mean by that is a way, because then it puts
the
onus
a good one. Yeah.
On them to have to then start explaining themselves. And then you, because that's when people get sweaty.
I think a lot of people just, it's a lot of like, it's ignorance more than it is like malice in most cases, I think, or yeah. I hope. And I do think that if you do just kind of, to the listener, if you just kind of ask them a question like what you just suggested, Andy, and if you want to get into it and talk about it, I don't think that necessarily will hurt. And I think people will thank you for it. I think it's, to me, it's less about like the Jewish thing than like if it's like about like, you know, I think a lot of like the cases I think about are like with like like when you're talking about like trans people or something, or like if somebody says something that is a little insensitive or inappropriate or like dead name someone, you can just kind of pull the, like just like say, hey, just by the way, you know. And I think having the conversations with people without the people feeling attacked is helpful, because I do think we are right now in this like attack mode. I think that's also like why people are like repelling, because I think there's so little room for people to fail, you know, especially like on Twitter, everybody just attacks everybody. So I do think having the conversations IRL in a way that comes from like empathy is probably the way to go.
That's good, because I do think that like people try to take the Twitter mode. Like, one of the things that I really appreciate about our listeners is that if we've never said anything like retrograde on the show, but sometimes like we have said stuff that people that like, I say this a lot on the show, but like if one person writes us, it's usually their problem. But if a couple people write us, then I know that maybe we said something that like wasn't the best way to phrase it. And then everyone's always very polite about it. And then, in almost every case, I'm like, oh, okay, you're right. And then we apologize or whatever about, you know, I don't think there's ever been anything to apologize for. But
we issue a retraction. We set the episode
on the front page of the podcast. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I think when people actually talk to each other, when they like communicate with each other, that's not on Twitter, they tend to be more charitable,
more measured,
and more measured in their response to other people. And I think if someone is really bigoted, you know, I don't know what to do necessarily. If someone says something mildly bigoted, I like that. Well, what do you mean by that? Because then
asking the person why. I know I'm not Jewish, so I was like letting you guys take the lead. Yeah. But as someone who really enjoys disarming people when they're being dumb, and somehow I managed to get away with it. I also think it's a thing of like, so for instance, the friend of yours who's like, well, I don't want to take his name, but I want him to take mine. It's like, you know, and then her being like, why? And it's like, so let's say the girl's like, because it sounds so Jewish. Okay, why don't you want to quote unquote sound Jewish? Because the more you push somebody, it also like, you don't even have to have responses to the things this person says. I think when we talk about changing hearts and minds, it's just like, just say it out loud. Say the thing out loud. Like, you can kind of get people to put stuff together themselves. And also, if you don't, that lets you know who not to fuck with. Like, to me, it's like, find out if this person trash. And just kind of ask them, just be like, why? Oh, you don't want to say, you know, oh, it sounds Jewish. People think I'm Jewish. They'll think I'm this, that, and the other. And be like, oh, okay, did you know I'm Jewish? I gotta go, bye. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and again, it's not like that's so effortless. Don't get me wrong. And as you're saying, like, how, but it's like, you do want to know where people stand, and you can find out where they stand and decide they're not for you without it being some big burn it to the ground conversation or argument or public, you know, meltdown. It can literally just be like, oh, that's a bum. That make me sad when you say that.
Yeah.
Because I'm Jewish. Like, you can even say it's like, oh, like the person who says something about like, you know, like name and nose, and it's like, well, that didn't just help the culture. You know what I mean? Like, you just didn't help the community with that one. You know, again, whatever your dynamic is. Also, though, if this person is at work, because you just have a former coworker, if that person says something like that at work, leave it the fuck alone. Don't say nothing at work. Anybody you got to see every damn day, everybody works with someone racist. So, everyone works with someone racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, where you're like, I just got to hush my mouth and make it to 5:30. You know, so, unfortunately, that's with that. But with people who, you know, claim to be friends, I say, you know, make them Be honest. Make them answer that question.
Make them work for it.
Make them work.
Okay. Why don't we try this next?
By the way, you guys can ask me anything. I don't mean to cock block your ability to do your podcast. You know what I mean? So anything you want to ask me. I know, but I just don't want you to think I'm like withholding. I don't want you to think I'm withholding.
Jenna, I'm gonna tap the sign. We love you and Josh.
Tap the sign.
Tap the sign.
Tap it.
All right, here's another one.
There's a sign behind us and we're tapping it. It's imaginary.
Hello, Naomi and Andy and potential guests. I have a question about a work situation. So I work in a pretty typical office environment, open floor plan. We have been going back now in the past few months since everyone's vaxxed up or required to be in the office. And I've been at this job for a little over 2 years, and I am struggling with not only adjusting to being around people after working from home for almost, you know, a year and a half, however long, but also I'm finding that I'm getting more easily frustrated and annoyed with my coworkers, particularly people in my department that I deal with and I sit near mostly. And again, reminder, it's an open floor plan. We have no division. It's all desks. It's not even cubicles. You know, everyone can see and hear everything. And we're very close proximity to each other. I think I have already kind of determined that this job is not really a good fit for me. And I don't really feel like I fit in or belong with this department. There's just a way of doing things that isn't a way that I think is good or the best, and just overall it's not the best fit. And so ideally I would enjoy a new job situation, but obviously that's not going to happen overnight. So my question is there a way to,
are you hiring,
deal with this better than obviously the normal, like, you know, meditation, go for a walk, exercise, whatever, journaling. Also, I find that sometimes I can't contain my mood and my frustration with my coworkers, and I'm trying to walk a fine line between being civil, but I also don't want to be performative in my, you know, politeness or being overly nice when I feel like that's unnecessary. And I, like I said, I don't particularly like these people and don't feel like there's a really great vibe or relationship, but I understand this is a work situation. So yes, I'm just struggling with how to deal with frustrating coworkers, but also finding a line that's not going to put more emotional labor on myself when I, you know, don't want to have to be fake and fake nice to people that I don't particularly like. Anyway, I hope to hear from you soon. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. So it's basically like how to get through work, but not be so nice that the coworkers think they can talk to you. Like, you don't want to invite them in, but you need to
like
keep
vampires. Yes. Yeah, I just thought about how awful it must be for everybody forced to talk to people during COVID. Like, we are lucky because we get to choose who we hang out with, you know, during this time. But it's like, to have to talk to someone who might be harboring a pathogen, it's just a lot. It's a lot emotionally. Yeah. And so I feel her pain, but also it is work. It's inherently performative. You know, it's It sucks that it's an open floor plan, so she can't look for another job and get paid while she's doing it.
Right.
That's the hardest part, you know, if you can't find a place to turn your laptop and just do what you need to do. It's a bummer, but yeah.
Can you put up a giant plant? I just realized. Open floor plan, but there's something you can put on your desk that, like, blocks at least one side. So there's a person who you really don't want to look at. Can you put up, like, a giant something?
An open floor plant.
Open floor.
Mm-hmm. Or like a Q, like a big Q, maybe like a QAnon sticker.
A letter Q.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Like, this is a dumb suggestion. Don't actually do this, but turn yourself into a lunatic. Like, just don't dive down this, but like, get a mug that says QAnon, get another mug that says 11/6 or 1/6 is the new Independence Day, whatever. Like, get all those
or
kind
like
of things.
Maybe, yeah. Or like, the vaccine causes COVID. You know, maybe get a sticker.
put those signs up and maybe no one will. I mean, there might be a more benign version of that. Like
just saying you have COVID. Instead of making up things, you just literally have to be like, no, you don't say, you're like, you I don't feel cold. Well today. It's best I don't come in the office. I'm sure legally they can't make you come in if you feel sick.
No, they guess they can or they'll fire you. That's what that's saying, the whole thing that happened during the pandemic.
But you can still work from home. Like she was doing her job from home for a year and a half. So if she's like, hey, I got to stay home and almost set it up so that you like, you know, you get.
I got reinfected 2 weeks later.
Exactly. You need to find a way to kind of get out of there. Is there any way you can like only be in the office half the week or only be in the office in the afternoons? Is there any way you can limit that time? You know, obviously while still getting your job done.
But this is the thing I was thinking, what I was trying to say was like, don't turn yourself into, don't like put on the skin of a QAnon lunatic, but can you turn yourself into that person in your office that no one wants to talk to? Put a bunch of like yarn animals and precious moments figurines on your desk.
Eat
and
when something people, smelly.
When people come to
so
talk
to you.
So
you have bad breath. No yes. one's going to fire you for having bad breath.
Yes. But just say that, like, talk about like, well, God has a plan for you. Every time someone comes to talk to you about something, say something that, like the boring people that like I used to work with in offices that I wouldn't want to talk to unless I had to would just like talked in cliches. And the reason I didn't want to have like boring chatter with them. Okay. So I would just say hello. I'd be pleasant and polite, but I would just limit it to the actual interactions I needed to do that I needed for my job and then let it go at that because they were so boring or so cliche.
So you're telling her to be boring or cliche
just at work.
Well, also, can you also keep headphones in your ears?
Oh, that's a great yes. That's
there
a
you
good
go,
one.
Naomi. You guys are so it's so sweet how earnest you are to try to help your listeners because I only am going for the jokes, but you guys are like actually giving them real advice that they can use that will help make their lives better.
Well, that's what we do here, Jenna. Every Tuesday. That's what we do. Every Tuesday, we're here to help. And Lord knows I understand not liking people and having to be around them and yeah. jobs. Like, and especially when I was younger, you know, temp jobs, internships. The greatest moment of my life was when I got my own office with a door. And then, of course, I got laid off maybe 6 or 7 months later. I barely had time to relish in the door. But it's like, you know.
That was at the art magazine?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was like a nice office. Like none of us were really like that, you know. But I had one coworker. He would listen to podcasts. I feel like he was listening to podcasts before podcasts were podcasts. He always had headphones on. Always. And they were big, too. So you knew they were on. And he would just kind of do his work. But he would have that going. And it would, what it would make me do with him. Because, again, he wasn't never mean about it. But because he had headphones on, I didn't want to interrupt him unless I really had something to say. And it did probably cut down on people bothering him about stupid shit. You know what I mean? And I'm like, if you can get away with that, and again, it's open concept. And then if someone gives you shit about it, it's like, oh, I needed to concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because especially with an open concept, everybody fucking chattering and chewing and coughing and COVIDing. Good God, open concept.
Can you wear a mask indoors? Can you wear like...
Probably.
I would say wear a mask, too, just to, like, give yourself some kind of, like, peace of mind.
If that's not required, I want you to quit this job, okay? I want you to quit. I want you to get a PPP loan and get the hell out of there. You are not forced to wear masks.
So I got two final things to say. One, I used to work this – one of the worst jobs I ever worked was at this what is it called? A C-suite level staffing
firm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was just monstrous. The CEO was basically, like, I understood Trump because I worked for someone who was just like that. And it was just the toxic place I've ever been in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi, I couldn't, everything I did was monitored. But Naomi during the day would help proofread my cover letters. And it took a while. I started looking for a job like a week after getting this one because it was so awful. It took 9 months to find something, but Naomi helped me while I couldn't like look at my cover letters. She would like proofread them for me, and then I would send them out when I got home.
Yeah.
So if you can have a friend or a loved one
you
help
need an outside man
help you
gender neutral person
yes then then try that. And then the other thing is that helped me when I had a lot of terrible day jobs, that helped get rid of, because like one of the parts of the question was about like, how do I get rid of this rage, right? Mm-hmm. Naps. Find a place you can nap, whether it's the toilet. When I worked for the, what was the place that did the SATs?
College Board.
The College Board. It was in this building in Manhattan that also housed like a place that made Bibles. And so in on the top floor was a chapel, and the chapel was never in use during the day. So I would go up there and nap. And you know what? You know what? After that nap, refreshed.
Right.
Refreshed.
Reset.
Come back down and you finish out the day. You know, don't abuse the privilege of napping. But I cannot say enough for that sneak away nap.
Are you the Jewish boy who sleeps in the chapel?
Looks like a children's book.
Exactly.
Hey, not a bad idea. Hey, copyright. Jenna, copyright. Let's write that. Jenna, our dear friend who we love. Thank you for joining us today.
Especially because you hate podcasts. We really appreciate you coming through. I don't like the music,
I just find them disarming, and I'm afraid what I'm going to say, you know.
Yeah.
But if I say nothing, then I... Well, it's really nice to pick
up. Okay, an uneasy sigh. That is how we like to end an interview. And it's funny because we thought, like, with a friend... It was going to be easier. Jenna might have been one of the toughest guests we've ever had.
I'm sorry. I'll tell you everything this weekend when we hang out. I will tell you all. I will spill everything I've ever done. You're going to hear about it this weekend.
Wow.
Two drinks. If you had given me two drinks, I would be like, wow.
We gotta title this one, An Uneasy Sigh.
Sigh, absolutely.
I don't know what people who don't know me think I'm like. I must seem like a very boring prude, because I'm just like...
You're just private. But I think that's the thing, where it's just like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being a private person. I think it's curious, but I think that's what makes it curious to me.
Look, if... Yeah.
I think of you as a thoughtful person.
Yes.
I think,
like,
You're serious about comedy. You know what I mean? Like, I think... But I don't know. I think you're very thoughtful about it, and you're very smart. And, like, you're out here going face-to-face with true evil in the world. in Soft Focus, in Indefensible. Like, you know...
Face-to-face with real pervs.
Real sick fucks.
Well, McAfee was... I mean... I wouldn't call him that, but yes, to some of the other people, sure, yeah.
Some of the other people, sure.
Yeah.
People out here using gay panic defense. I'm like, all right, you're a monster. Okay, guys, Uneasy Sigh, out. We'll see you next week. Bye!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.